Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Today begins the fifth and final book of Psalms. Book 5, and this book is actually the longest book of the five books of Psalms. This is the longest book of the Psalms. It has 54 Psalms in this book, and it is filled with praise to God. It gradually increases in intensity until it bursts into a glorious, majestic praise to God, right? And so this actually tells a beautiful story from beginning to end of how God protects His people while they are in exile. Israel has been in exile. They've been waiting for the coming king. And now in this story, God talks about, the story tells how God gently protects them while He is in exile, gradually leads them home, and where they get to be with Him forever, where they get to enjoy His blessings and His care for them as those who are part of this of His kingdom. So book 5 tells this story from the perspective of those who are in exile coming home. This is their story. They're telling the story of, man, we were in exile, we were away from home, and God has called us back. And this is our story, telling our story from their heart. Book 5 starts with a gathering. We're going to start from Psalm 107, the first couple of Psalms that we're going to be looking at starts with a gathering. And it describes about how people are being rescued, how people are beginning their journey back to their homeland. In the same way that David was rescued from his enemies, these first couple of Psalms kind of focus in on we were in exile, we were away from our king, we were away from our country, we were hurting, but God has protected us and He has cared for us, even in these times of exile. Even David talks about how he had been in great danger, how his enemies were gathered around him, and yet David himself was rescued from his enemies and was restored to his throne. One thing that's interesting is in Psalm 110, David tells a very important part of this whole book. In Psalm 110, verse 1, David says something that is going to set the whole tone for the rest of the book. In Psalm 110, verse 1, David says this: "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." This statement that David makes gets repeated often in the New Testament. Even Jesus himself refers back to the statement that David made, saying, "The Lord, Yahweh, the King of Kings, the Creator of all things, said to my Lord." He's not talking about himself. He's talking about David's Lord, the Lord's Lord, the King's King. He says, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." The new king, the one that comes after David. David introduces a new king here, a new David, you could say. And this new king is going to be the one who gathers everyone back from their home or back to their homeland. This king is going to come after David, but he is going to be greater than David. He is going to be the King of Kings. He is the one, this king, this new king is going to be the one who defeats all their enemies and gathers them to himself. This new king is going to protect them and is going to reign over all things. And no one will be able to stand against this new king, this coming king. So, what is the response of this coming king? How do the people respond? They respond in praise. They praise God. So the whole next section of book 5, from Psalm 111 to Psalm 117, this is really interesting. Psalm 111 to Psalm 117 are seven psalms. And within these seven psalms, these are called the Hallel Psalms. What in the world is a Hallel Psalm, you may be wondering? Well, think about how we sing Hallelujah. That's basically the words, the Hebrew word written at either the beginning or the end of each psalm. There are three psalms in the beginning, three psalms in the back, and one psalm in the middle of this section. And each of these little groups have a very interesting way of saying Hallel. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So what in the world does hallelujah mean? We say that a lot, right? Hallelujah. Hallel is the Hebrew word that means to praise. And Yah is the short word for Yahweh. So it's saying, praise the Lord, the King, the Lord of all creation, the God, the sovereign God of all the earth. Hallel, praise Yahweh. So every psalm either begins or ends with the word, hallelujah, praise the Lord. In between, the first three psalms talk about praising God in a very unique way. They're praising God, they're focusing on the praise of what it's going to be like in God's kingdom when they make it home. When they get home, what's it gonna be like? Have you guys ever done that? Maybe you're going to Disneyland. Oh man, I can't wait. It's gonna be so awesome. Oh, I can't wait to see this ride. Oh, I can't wait to ride that ride. You know how we do that? Well, this is what the Israelites were doing on their way back to their homeland. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, it's gonna be so awesome. This is what they're praising God. This is the first part of it. The praise, the what it's gonna be like in God's kingdom. The amazing wonders of God providing for his people. The last three of the Psalms, 115 to 117, focus in on his unmatched power. Our God is so strong. He's so powerful. He's going to protect us. He's going to care for us. And he's going to bless us even on our journey home. One psalm in the middle is very interesting because it ties both of those together in a very interesting way. It focuses on how God literally did that very thing for them as they left Egypt and came to their promised land. How God protected them and kept them safe. And then finally, eventually, when they got to the promised land, how God blessed them and helped them to overflow in blessings. So this is called the Egyptian Hallel. In other words, it's talking about how in the same way that God did this for us back in Egypt, this is what we're looking forward to when the time comes. So this was their expectation, their praise. So the next section, we're going to look at the next section. The next section, we see the final preparation of the kingdom. There are two psalms in this. Psalm 118. And you know the Psalm 119, by far surpasses Psalm 119, right? What do these two psalms have to do with the story of the return of Israel? In Psalm 118, the coming king that David had talked about in Psalm 110, that new king, that coming king, he's beginning to set up the kingdom of Israel. He's beginning to set up his kingdom. Here we see this word where it talks about how he becomes the cornerstone of the kingdom. This new king becomes the very foundation on which the whole kingdom rests. And throughout this psalm, if you read through Psalm 118, you're going to see images of a new covenant, a new way or a new gate through which people enter into his kingdom. In fact, let's take a look at it real quick. Psalm 118, look at verses 19 through 23. This is a long psalm, so we have to kind of go over a whole big area in a short amount of time. But we're going to stop here. It says in Psalm 118, verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. The gates of righteousness. An interesting phrase. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. The gates are gates of righteousness, and we go in and we praise the Lord. Verse 20, this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Verse 21 continues on, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Just earlier, they were talking about how they were being constantly attacked and being constantly threatened. And God becomes their salvation. And he brings them into this gate through righteousness. Those who are righteous enter into the gate. God becomes their salvation. Verse 22 says this, "The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner," the cornerstone. This has been mentioned about, you know who we're talking about, right? This has been mentioned about Jesus. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, the foundation on which the whole kingdom rests. Verse 23, they respond in wonder. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Man, this is amazing. This is so cool, basically, is what they're saying, right? This new covenant that God, that this new king has set up, now it does an amazing thing in the hearts of the people of the kingdom. What it does is this, it creates in them a delight in the law of the Lord, unlike anything they have experienced before. His law becomes something that they cherish, that they love. And this is what Psalm 119 is describing. It's describing, God, your words to us are so good. We love them and we so enjoy them. Each section of Psalm 119, this is really interesting. You know how Psalm 119 is very long and it's got all kinds of different sections? Well, each section is actually a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and there's 22 sections in this psalm. And each of those psalms in each section starts out with the letter of the alphabet. And that's kind of how the psalm is broken up, right? Each section describes how good and wonderful God's law is. The word of God is trustworthy and we can rely on it. And it tells all the ways that those who enter into the kingdom will find peace, will find joy, will find protection and comfort in God's words. And the things that God says, they will see it as this is good for us. And they love it and they enjoy it. That's what Psalm 119 is describing. Isn't that pretty cool? That's amazing, isn't it? Now, the exiles have been gathered from all corners of the earth. They're almost home. They're almost at their final destination. They have one final ascension, one final hill to get up to before they reach their home. It's interesting that Jerusalem, also known as the city of Zion, is on a big mountain. And so those who travel from far away have to climb up a mountain to get to the top. It's like an ascension. And so in their final journey home, on the final ascent, we see these next 15 psalms, Psalm 120 to 134. These 15 psalms are called Songs of Ascent. Songs of Ascent. It's like songs that they sing as they're climbing up the hill to go home. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So these songs that they sing are amazing. They sing them there's so many different aspects of the psalm that they sing. So one part of it is they look back and like, oh man, God has been so good to us. He's protected us, even though we've been away for so long, but God has kept us safe and he's taking care of us. And he looks back on God's protection. Then they sing about songs about entering into Zion, entering into Jerusalem, and finding their protection in God. Their songs about going to the temple. Oh, I'm sure they long to be back at the temple where they can worship and praise God in the temple. Once again, they're finding this, that they're all united again together as a people under the king. I think you can kind of feel what they're feeling in Psalm 126, kind of in the middle of this section of these songs of ascent. This is what they say in Psalm 126, just a couple of words, of verses. It says this, 126:1, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream." What does he mean by that? When we were captive and God turned our captivity around and rescued us from our captivity, he turned us from our captivity and rescued Zion, us, we, his people. we were like them, the dream. It's like, is this really happening? Is this really coming true? It's like a dream. Verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen. Now the heathen are talking. They say this, man, the Lord has done great things for them. Man, it's amazing how good God is to them. They recognize the God of Israel and they say, God is doing some amazing things with them. Their response is in verse 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Everybody else is saying how good God is, and we agree. God is so good. He's done so many amazing things for us. And these are the songs that they're singing as they climb up the mountain, the final ascent to go home. The next three psalms, Psalm 135 to 137, it kind of seems like they're transitioning into the temple itself. Like they've entered the kingdom. They've entered Jerusalem. They finally made it home. And now they're at the temple worshiping God. They're in the temple where praise flows from the people as they sing about His power, specifically focusing on how God is God over all other gods. No other gods, no other idols can compare to how powerful and majestic our God is. It's interesting. This Psalm 136 is a really interesting psalm because it's a song that people sang together. One person would sing and all the rest of the people would respond in this way. You probably know this Psalm 136. It has this psalm where it's a constant repeat. For His mercy endureth forever. His steadfast love endures forever. That where it constantly repeats it, right? Why do you think that song is like that? More than likely, what happens is the leader of the worship, one of the leaders of worship, would sing out the first part, and the whole nation, all the people would respond with that same, "For His mercy endureth forever." So the leader would say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good," and all the people would respond, "For His mercy endureth forever." Exactly. Verse 2 says this, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods." And everybody would respond, "For His mercy endureth forever." Verse 3 says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords." And they would respond, "For His mercy endureth forever." Verse 4, "To Him who alone doth great wonders." And they would respond, "For His mercy endureth forever." This was their song of praise as they gathered together once again in the temple worshiping their God. He was great. He is great. Greater than any other God. And so they praise His name. They praise Him and praise Him and praise Him. As the songs of praise in this book reach closer and closer and closer to the climax, we see the praise transitioning a little bit to the King of Zion. David himself is the writer of the next eight psalms. And he sings about how God has restored him even in the presence of all his enemies. It's a very personal praise where the King of Israel praises the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He sings about how God has protected him in the presence of his enemies. He sings about how God was always watching over him, always with him, always protecting him. And it was God who had prepared his steps from the time, from before he was even born. God had prepared his steps all the way. David describes God's care for him in this way, Psalm 139. Verse 1 and 2, David says this, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me." Verse 2, "Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." From here, David talks about how God knows every aspect of who He is, where He is, what He does. God knows everything, and he describes that in such, "Oh, you are so good. You know everything about me." Verse 16 says this, and he continues, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, I wasn't fully made yet. But in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. Even when I wasn't even made as a baby yet, you knew everything about me. You formed me and created, and how magnificently, how wonderfully you did that. Verse 17, David says this, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. God, I don't understand this, but you think about me all the time. God, the King of Kings, the Creator of all things, thinks about me. And you think about me a lot. And I'm amazed by that, that you would even think about me. And yet you do. You have prepared me. You have formed me from the womb, and you've prepared my steps all through my life. How amazing that you think about me. Isn't that true for all of us? That God, the one who creates everything, thinks about you. And he thinks a lot about you. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Now, just as God has safely walked with him through every aspect of his life, so also God establishes the throne for David. Even though at that stage David was still surrounded by enemies, he praises God for how he not only protects him, but how he protects those who are in his kingdom. God is the one who makes it safe for his people. An interesting thing is David's last psalm, Psalm 145. Psalm 145 is special because in this psalm, David's last psalm, David, who has been the king for years and years and years, now humbles himself and publicly declares that the kingdom is not his, but God's. Basically, David recognizes that this is not his kingdom, it is God's kingdom. And so he takes the crown of glory off of himself and he lifts it up to God. David worships God as king. David declares that God establishes his great kingdom and that God and his king will reign forever. Look at what he says in Psalm 145. We're just going to look at a couple of verses. Verse 1, it says this, I will extol thee, my God, O king, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. David calls God his king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Even David, the king, his king was God. Let's continue on. We're going to continue verses 10. Go jump down to verse 10. It says this, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. The people in your kingdom will praise you because of your works, and they will bless you. Verse 11 says this, they shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Verse 12, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of whose kingdom? His kingdom. It's his kingdom, not David's kingdom. It's God's kingdom. Verse 13 says this, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. David enjoyed the amazing blessings of being the king of Israel in its kingdom, of being the king of Jerusalem. And yet David recognized that his kingdom would one day end. And yet, the kingdom that God will bring about through the second David. Remember back in Psalm 110, where David pointed to a coming king, a king who would sit at the right hand of God. This coming king would be king for all generations, and his kingdom would last forever. And this is the king that David is pointing to. So now, the people have come home. They are now at peace, fully enjoying the protection and care of their king. Zion, Jerusalem, has been restored and firmly established by him. Now, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has made all things right again. And so he rules. He rules with wisdom. He rules with power. He rules with the justice of he rules with his justice. And in that, the people of his kingdom thrive and they flourish. They are overflowing with blessings. Their blessings are full and just overflowing in their lives. And so they sing. They sing and they sing and they sing praises over and over in constant awe and wonder at how good and how wonderful their King is. It is a continual singing of praise, joyous praise throughout eternity. And this are what the last five Psalms describe. Continuous, never-ending praise and thanksgiving to the God of gods, to the King of kings. Every psalm begins and ends with hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He is good. In these last five psalms, they sing of all the ways that the King rules with love and care for his people. They sing of all the ways that his kingdom, that his people, all the ways that his kingdom flourishes. The people, the land, the animals, all is blessed and thriving under his power and wisdom. They call for all things to praise God, praise the King, from the angels in heaven to the small animals and the birds and the trees. Everything praises God, for he is the one who sustains them. They praise him for how he delights, how he loves to be with his people. And they love him back because of how much he loves them. With every instrument and with every voice, they sing to their King. The Psalms close with these words in Psalm 150, the very last verse. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Book 5 is a story of coming home. For the Israelites, it was their return to Jerusalem when they finally get to come home. But this story isn't just about the Israelites. Because within these Psalms is actually our story. Our story is in these very Psalms, these very songs that are being sung. Because for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, this is the story of our homecoming. That one day we get to go home. In the pages of these Psalms is the story of Jesus, our King. The very King who David mentions in Psalm 110, who is even now, think about this, even now, our King is sitting at the right hand of God, just like David said in Psalm 110. Right now, he is sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus is the King who rescues us from the captivity of sin. Jesus is the one who walks with us in our journey, our exile here on earth. Jesus is the one who even now is establishing his kingdom and preparing it for us. And one day, he will call us home. And when that day comes, we too will join those who have gone before us, who are singing with us now. We will get to sing with them in joy and gladness because of how our King rules with wisdom, with power and love for us, his people. Even now, those who have gone on before us are cheering us on. Keep going, keep going. Your King's coming. Don't give up. Don't give up on him yet. Keep trusting in him. Keep your confidence in him. And so this is their challenge to us, and this is helpful for us to keep waiting, to keep walking, to keep trusting in our coming King. Hebrews 12:1-2 says it this way. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, those who are gone before us and are cheering us on, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Why? Verse 2. Or what do we do? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Jesus, our King, will one day return. So as we go through Psalm 150, as we read the story of what the Israelites were feeling as they were coming home, let this be your story, because it is. This is your story of how one day the Jesus, the King, will return. As we sing of his first return, or of his first coming to us as a little baby boy, think about the fact that the next time he returns, he will return as King. Just as he promised to come, and he fulfilled his promise to come as our Redeemer, so also he will fulfill his promise to come as our King. Psalm 150 is our expectation and hope and our future joy of that moment when he comes back and we get to come home. Let's praise him for that. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. What an amazing plan. What an amazing story you are writing right now that we get to be part of. The pages in the book of this story that you are writing, it is our story that you are telling because you allow us to be part of your great story. And for that, we thank you. You are kind to us. Now, as those who are in the middle of our journey, help us to put our hope in you. Help us to put our trust in you. Help us to be confident that in every aspect of our journey, in every aspect of our life, you are in control and you are writing it. Just like David had mentioned in his psalm, how you know every part of us. And you know everywhere we go and everything we do. And so you, knowing these things, are writing our story. Help us to have confidence in our journey now. Help us to trust you in our journey now. And help us to walk patiently, steadfastly, step by step, forward and forward and forward, following after you, knowing that one day you will take us home. And when that day comes, our response will be singing and praising, joyful, exuberant praise to you, our Redeemer and our King. Jesus, you are good to us. And it is in your name we pray this, and thank you for it. Amen.